Imagine running your fingers across the spine of an old book and suddenly feeling the emotions of everyone who's ever held it, their joy, heartbreak, hope, and despair seeping through the worn pages. This is daily reality for Ashlyn Greer, whose extraordinary gift of psychometry allows her to sense emotional imprints left on books by previous owners. Since that first encounter at 12 years old, when a weathered copy of Jane Eyre flooded her with unexpected comfort during her parents' argument, books have been Ashlyn's sanctuary from life's storms. Now the owner of An Unlikely Story, a rare bookstore in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, she's built her life around these paper-bound emotional echoes. On a rain-soaked September afternoon in 1984, Ashlyn discovers two mysterious leather-bound volumes that will challenge everything she understands about her gift and the nature of truth itself. The first mysterious volume Ashlyn discovers bears the cryptic title Regretting Bell, with a bitter inscription, "How, Bell? After everything, how could you do it?" Unlike other books, this one remains silent until opened, when it releases powerful masculine emotions of heartbreak and betrayal. Later, her friend Kevin brings her another similarly bound book titled Forever and Other Lies with a responding inscription, "How, after everything, you can ask that of me?" This second book carries feminine emotional echoes, cold and cutting rather than hot with hostility. These volumes present the same love story from opposing perspectives, each author believing they were betrayed. Their story begins at Belle's engagement party in August 1941, where she meets a British writer she nicknames Hemmy. Despite their verbal sparring, she's a Bronte girl while he prefers Dickens, their attraction is immediate. Their romance unfolds through stolen moments, rain-soaked conversations, clandestine meetings at Belle's family farm, and afternoons in Hemmy's apartment. Both fabricate excuses to meet, risking everything for what feels like their first authentic connection. Ashlyn becomes immersed in a captivating pre-WW romance between a society princess engaged to another man and a British writer harboring dangerous secrets. Their relationship unfolds gradually. Belle shares her thwarted dreams of becoming a poet like Elizabeth Barrett Browning before her father destroyed her smut notebooks, while Hemmy admits he initially approached her for a story about her father but fell genuinely in love. As they grow closer, painful truths emerge. Belle reveals her French mother, Helene, was institutionalized after an episode at one of her father's dinner parties and died a year later without a goodbye. In her book, Belle shares more intimate details, cherished moments in her mother's lily-scented room, looking through hidden photo albums with French captions. The most devastating revelation comes when Hemmy discovers Belle's mother was French Jewish with the maiden name Treves. Her father had hidden this fact and institutionalized her, not due to mental illness, but because he was ashamed of her heritage as his political ambitions grew. The Hebrew prayers Belle's mother taught her were her secret way of sharing her heritage. The lover's story collapses when Belle discovers what she perceives as Hemmy's ultimate betrayal, an exposé in the New York Weekly Review revealing her father's anti-Semitism and her mother's Jewish heritage, with photos of Belle and her sister. Belle claims she went to Hemmy's apartment to start their new life, only to find it empty, the landlord saying he'd left to cover the war. Hemmy's account differs dramatically. Belle never appeared at their train station rendezvous, leaving him heartbroken and convinced she'd chosen wealth over love. As Ashlyn investigates with her friend Kevin and librarian Ruth Truman, they discover Belle was actually Marion Manning, daughter of steel magnate Martin Manning. Newspaper clippings reveal that in 1950, after working with displaced persons in post-war France, Marion returned to New York with two Jewish orphans she'd adopted, Zachary, 7, and Elise, 5, scandalizing her prominent family. Through Marion's great-nephew, Ethan, Ashlyn arranges to meet the elderly woman at her coastal home. Marion reveals that Hemmy was actually Hugh Garrett, now a celebrated best-selling novelist. The conversation reveals that the two books had been sent through a mutual friend, Richard, with neither author knowing if their words had reached their intended recipient. As Marianne shares stories about her adopted children's remarkable achievements, Zachary, an internationally acclaimed violinist, Elise, an impressive academic, Ashlyn notices striking physical similarities between Zachary and Hugh Garrett's author photos. The truth becomes clear. Zachary must be Hemi's biological son, conceived before their separation but unknown to his father. This revelation explains why Zachary bears no physical resemblance to his sister Elise, a secret preserved through decades of careful silence. The story's crucial revelation unfolds at a charity event where Marianne reluctantly agrees to speak with Hugh. He produces a weathered letter he's preserved for 40 years, believing it represented Marianne's final rejection. As Marianne unfolds the familiar paper, her world shifts dramatically. The words before her are unmistakably those she had written to Teddy, not Hemi. Her sister Corinne had deliberately switched the letters while helping Marianne pack for college. The letter actually intended for Hemi contained just 5 simple words: "I'm coming, wait for me." A single act of deception shaped multiple lives. Marianne spent decades believing Hemi abandoned her, while Hemi thought Marianne rejected their love due to social differences. Belle's father had arranged her mother's successful suicide by having a janitor leave a utility knife in her room after 2 failed attempts. This explains Belle's later adoption of Jewish orphans as atonement and connection to her mother's heritage. When Marianne reveals the truth about the switched letters, Hugh responds with unexpected coldness, suggesting he's unwilling to accept this new version of their history. Sometimes truth, revealed too late, loses its power to heal. Books serve as more than story containers. They're vessels carrying emotional truths across decades, silent witnesses to human experience. Through Ashlyn's investigation of Belle and Hemi's ill-fated romance, we see how written words connect us across time. The 2 mysterious volumes function as time capsules, preserving their authors' raw emotions and secrets that waited decades to be discovered. As we turn the final page, we're reminded that the stories we tell about our lives, whether in published books, private journals, or whispered confidences, shape our understanding of the past and influence our future. Sometimes these narratives contain misunderstandings that can only be resolved by confronting what's been left unsaid. What makes a book truly valuable isn't its rarity or condition, but the human connections it fosters, bridges spanning the gaps between hearts, healing old wounds, and creating new possibilities for understanding. Perhaps we all leave emotional imprints on the books we cherish, invisible threads connecting readers across generations who have laughed, cried, and found themselves in the same beloved pages. Through Ashlyn's gift, we're reminded that every book carries not just the author's intended story, but also the emotional journeys of those who've held it, creating a rich tapestry of human experience that transcends time and space.